Well, here's another question for you too, George, is how do these kids, I've got a 2-year-old granddaughter. She was using her father, my son's tablet. She grabbed the thing.
Yeah.
She knows how to do it.
Yeah.
How do they know this?
Well, the problem is they're attracted to the bright colors. It takes very little training to move your finger around, and they've watched mom and dad. They are pretty darn smart.
They're like little tape recorders.
Yes, and so that's why it's also very important to watch how you say things as you grow up, because you're going to get those same words back. So the problem is when they're addicted or partially addicted, then, you know, imaginary games go the way of the past. If you think about some of the core values that we were brought up on that held the families together over dinner and interaction, what are you doing, and offering support and suggestions. Now, with entertainment, we have the video games, iPads. I mean, I have an iPad and cell phones, but I'd rather focus on the interpersonal nature of you know, what it means to be human. I really have concerns about what happens to your immune system. If you don't have interaction with human beings, your immune system can get significantly impaired pretty quickly. And sedentary bodies are not healthy. And it's also going to be a problem for teachers. And, you know, think about how difficult it is to get into the colleges that were probably much easier to get in 20 years ago. You're going to have to be able to interact with others and teachers, work on class projects, and learn and grow and have a healthy body. And I'm concerned about it.
Let me ask you about social networking. Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat's out there now. That they just turned down an offer from Facebook, I believe. I don't even know if they're making money, but it was like in the billions. It's amazing. But
it is amazing.
These social networks that are out there, are they helping or hurting people? Because on one hand, it does get information out pretty darn fast.
Right.
I mean, when Michael Jackson died, I mean, the world knew about it in an instant. In the old days, you know, you'd have to simply wait for radio or TV to break in and you'd have to hear it. Now, you know, your smartphone, which a lot of people have, if not most people, you know, it goes off. You got a message. If you've got Facebook, you set it up where your notification shows up, and it's there. It's instant. Is that helping or hurting people?
You know, I think it has the ability to do both. I think properly managed, it has the ability to be a benefit. Overused, it can create sleep disorders, depression, anxiety, learning difficulties, problems that children and adolescents have with being articulate and speaking, and because they're not moving around as much, problems with coordination. And one of the problems that happens, you know, with autism, and I do some media work with them and a film on that and trying to get the word out and helping people to understand autism. And the challenge is they're not aware of social cues. That's probably the biggest challenge. They just, you can tell them a joke and they won't get it. They won't get that social inference. So let's take it out of the clinical range in terms of that kind of problem, but let's take it to people that are just feeling very detached, that they'd have to get a message on their phone to know what's happening in the world. Now, do we really need to know the very second Michael Jackson passes? No, but is it here to stay? Yes. So the question is, how do we use that to help people in the best way? Because that's what we need to do.